The second thing about Lysander is that in some ways he pursued traditional Spartan policies. As he moved through the Aegean in 405 and 404 BC, he cast out the democracies and he put in power men who would be loyal to Sparta. These were to be aristocrats, men of good breeding, the Kaloi Kogathoi, men who had ties of hospitality with the Spartans and other Peloponnesians, who were the sorts of aristocrats and men the Spartans could trust to take over these cities and ensure rule by the propertied classes. However, Lysander departed in two significant ways from this. First, he selected the men who were to run these cities. Very often they were groups of 10, known as decarchs, or a decarchy is a rule of 10, and these were personal friends of Lysander. And in several instances, they clearly were not the natural choices for the city. In at least the city of Miletus, Lysander carried out a purge of many of the aristocratic families who were seen as friendly to Sparta but no friends to Lysander. And Lysander really did not put in power the sort of men that most Spartans would want. He based his selection purely on loyalty, and some of the rather unsavory types who hung around the camp of Lysander were the ones who were put in power. There's a constant, and Lysander was also not above lying and cheating in all of this. He promised very often to cities that they would go back under their patrius politeia, which is a catch-all phrase for ancestral constitution. Many considered that a traditional aristocracy. And then once he had the city in his power, he essentially did what he wished. And this was true in Athens, where he put the 30 in power rather than the usual 10. It was true in Miletus. It was true in a number of cities. And Lysander is remembered in the tradition as a man who deceived boys at dice and men by oaths. He constantly took oaths. He made promises and always broke them when he found it expedient. And this way, he was very un-Spartan. And many have drawn the connection that Lysander represents a general moral decline of Spartans altogether, that all Spartans were subject to this type of corruption and loss of the traditional ways, that victory over the Athenians had corrupted the society to its core. Now, that in part is an image that is conveyed to us by Plutarch, who wrote the life of Lysander and a number of other lives of Spartans, and tends to look at Spartan society from a philosophical and moralizing viewpoint. It is also the perspective of an author writing early in the 4th century BC who wrote this Constitution of the Spartans, in which, again, he took a very moralizing and judgmental position, explaining how the Spartans had declined. We know this work was probably written before 377 or 371 BC, and so it's set in the Sparta immediately after the Peloponnesian War. And this notion has been reinforced by modern prejudices and conceptions of Sparta starting in the 19th century and going down to this day, and is really part of an overall view of the culture of defeat. That is, Sparta won the Peloponnesian War. Many a teacher of classical history have told their students and alumni that in their final year of lecturing, if they would change anything in their lectures, they would have Athens win the Peloponnesian War, not Sparta. And there is some sort of sense that history went wrong in 404 BC, and we'll look at that at the close of this lecture again and in the next lecture. So in any case, there is this whole moralizing position taken about the Spartan victory. There were clearly problems in Sparta. This is not to minimize that the war had imposed a great strain on the entire Peloponnesian League. No doubt the Spartan citizen body declined, but so did the citizen body of every other belligerent, including the Athenians, whose population fell drastically from the outbreak of the Peloponnesian War down to 404 BC. The same would have been true for a number of the lesser Peloponnesian states, probably not so for Thebes and Boeotia, which had stayed out of the worst of the fighting. There are clearly changes in the Spartan military, but it's difficult to understand what they mean. At the Battle of Plataea in 479 BC, Spartans and Perioeci were brigaded separately. Certainly by the time of Pylos in 425 BC, they're brigaded together, apparently in a mix of 50-50. Does that represent an effort to augment manpower because the citizen body is smaller? Or is that a move to break down regimental, territorial regiments? That is, units, whether they be called a moi or a locos, based on a region, and create a more general unit, very similar to the Athenian constitutional reforms of Cleisthenes, where tribes were broken up into thirds, which were not geographically contiguous, and it was a way of promoting greater solidarity and breaking down local ties.